It's time for a conversation with Astro Bob, an author, educator, and amateur astronomer, joining us by phone. Good morning, Bob. How are things?
Hey, great, Chris. How are things by you? Doing well?
Great. The sunrise this morning, as the sunsets have been, I've noticed the last few days, quite orange and actually red if you get it early enough.
Yes, the sun itself looks red, but it's interesting. There's so much smoke in the atmosphere right now that the colors are muted otherwise, you know? It takes away kind of the edge of a really, truly colorful sunset, but the sun itself is just this ball of fire.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to take a photograph of it the other day, and you know, I know the iPhone tends to make its own choices about how to judge the exposure of what you're photographing, but the redness of the sun, as you say, muted, but still stunning in a gray sky to see a red sun like that.
I know. It's really, this has become pretty commonplace, unfortunately, over the past, I really wish I would have kept a record years ago, but at least in the past 10 years or so, every summer, we have wildfire smoke. It can come from California, the Southwest. I know a lot of the smoke that we're seeing right now is from Canadian forest fires up in Ontario and in eastern Manitoba. And when the winds are right, it just directs a huge plume of smoke. And some of those plumes, you know, because they're being driven by the heat from the fires, some of those plumes can reach altitudes of like 50,000 feet. And when they're that high, they get moved around very easily, and they spread widely. So there's just a monster plume over, or there has been, over the Duluth, the Northland region, for some time now.
Yeah, and why does it sort of stick around? Is it the lake kind of holding it back from moving east? Is it the cool air that it's meeting?
Well, that's a great question for a meteorologist.
Well,
I just know that it sticks around. One reason it sticks around is that it just keeps coming, because the source,
yeah,
it's not stopped at the source, so it's like a faucet turned on.
Huh.
So the material, as long as the wind is right, it will, you know, if it points in the right direction, it'll just keep flowing down towards us. And so I think that's been the situation. And then I'm sure local weather conditions can trap it too, or, you know, like sometimes you'll have an air mass that just sort of sits over a region, like a high pressure area.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not moving, the smoke's probably not going to be moving either. You usually need some kind of a weather front, big change, to make that move.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying, that the last decade or so, I can think of several afternoons in recent summers where it's very surreal. You feel like it should be your typical afternoon, but you almost feel like you're on Mars because you're sort of in an orange glow.
Yeah, Mars is a good description, because the light is so filtered that, it really does feel like that. Or almost a twilight effect in the middle of the day. 2 days ago, I was looking up at the sun. It was about 5 in the afternoon, when the sun is still pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, it was yellow. There was a yellow corona around the sun from all of the smoke. And it really does make it difficult. I mean, obviously it filters the sunlight. It can be hazardous if the winds bring it to the ground, because that smoke can descend too. And I've smelled it. I especially smelled it on Sunday. It was very obvious. Did you notice it in the air?
Yeah, I did. And I also saw a lot of weather alerts over the weekend talking about the air quality being impacted for people who are older or had lung conditions, or children, not to exert themselves. So.
Yeah, it's really true, because those are tiny particulates that can get into the lungs and cause damage.
Yeah.
When it's on the ground like that, it's interesting. Where I live on the road that day, Sunday, I looked down the road, and it's about a distance of a half a mile. And in that half a mile's length, I could see haze and smoke in the distance on the ground. In other words, it was like slightly fogged in the distance. You could actually see it.
Wow.
In the air. Today, I don't think it's quite as bad. And we did have a little bit of partial clearing last night. We had a conjunction last night of Venus and Mars. It was something you really couldn't see with your naked eye. You needed binoculars. But it was just barely clear enough to see it in binoculars. There were many horizontal layers, if you caught it, like a lasagna of smoke across the western sky.
Mm.
And in between those layers, you could see Venus and occasionally Mars through binoculars. But it really, it puts a damper on viewing the night sky, because you can only see the very brightest stars. On Sunday night, I counted, I think, 6 stars total that I saw.
Only 6?
Yes, and yet the forecast, you look at the forecast, it says clear skies overnight.
Very misleading, isn't it? It says clear skies with haze.
With haze. Yeah, it was some intense haze. I saw the summer triangle, which is Vega, Deneb, and Altair, and then a couple of additional stars there, and then Arcturus off to the southwest, a bright reddish-orange star. And really, that was about it. I mean, you know, until Jupiter and Saturn rose.
Well, let me ask you this now, because obviously for photographers who like photographing the moon or the sunsets and things like that, it has a really cool effect, and I realize that for the naked eye, the sky is somewhat limited. As you said, only six stars the other night. What about people who are professionals with the big telescopes and they're looking at such a tiny little point in the sky? Would the haze really affect that little point they're trying to see, that little area, because they're zooming in so far? Are they able to penetrate that haze?
A telescope does gather more light. So yeah, if you take a pair of binoculars and point it at a very hazy sky or a telescope, you're going to see more stars. But it definitely absorbs starlight, and it makes these fainter things. Usually astronomers are really interested in some of these distant, fainter targets, and it makes those things harder to see, if not impossible. Mm. And it takes a lot longer time to, say, get a picture that they'd want of it or to measure its light with a spectrograph compared to a clear sky. So I would doubt that they'd be doing any astronomical research if we had an observatory here that did that under skies like this. Mm. I think they just hold out and do other projects, you know, nothing deep, because it does make a difference to astronomy, too.
Yeah.
Well, we have satellites to deal with. We got fire, smoke. We're just a mess, humanity.
Well, we're glad to have the Hubble and things like that out there in space that are above this fray.
All the more reason to have more telescopes in space, right? Although I think the Hubble is still hobbling. You know, they're trying to get its computer to work, so it's back up again.
Yep. Well, I was thinking about the Romans, stargazers, of course, a lot of the Mediterranean area, and when they had things like Pompeii with the Etna. Was it Etna? Is that the one near Pompeii? When volcanic ash gets thrown into the sky. Are there records back then of them not being able to make their observations for a period of time?
The ancient naked eye observations. I don't know. Good question.
We'll find out.
Yeah, they had to hold off. Of course, they didn't have light pollution to deal with, so...
That's true.
You know, that will brighten any smoke and dust, and the rest of it will be even brighter because of city lights.
Right.
So, bright objects are still visible through this. Like, throughout the smoky times here, you've been able to see Jupiter, for instance, the bright planets. Although not so much Venus, because it's very low in the sky. You know, you've got to clear the horizon a bit. Speaking of Jupiter, though, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, because we did have several very clear nights just before the haze came, and the Milky Way was just spectacular. And I noticed, I was in a spot where I had a good view to the east, I noticed that Jupiter and Saturn both are up now before midnight, so they're evening planets. And someone remarked the other day on Facebook, they were wondering, they saw this huge bright object in the eastern sky, and asked what that was. Well, I can tell you it's Jupiter. It's one of the brightest of the planets, second behind Venus. And it comes up right now at around 11:30 or so. Are you up that late?
Well, not the last couple of days. I have to be here at 5:30, but otherwise I would be, sure.
Well, it'll be coming up earlier and earlier, because all the stars and the planets rise 4 minutes earlier each night. And that's because of the Earth's motion around the sun, its orbit. You know, we're always moving, so the stars appear to shift. So if you add that up, one night is 4 minutes, and just a week from now, that's about a half an hour. So Jupiter will be up at 11.
Okay.
And in 2 weeks, it'll be up at 10:30. So kind of puts it more into the friendly time zone for us, for viewing.
But does the sunset then start to interfere with that, the waning daylight?
Yes, that happens too. Right? So it gets darker sooner, so that'll make the planets more obvious. The other thing that's kind of going on right now is the space station has returned this week, and it's, you know, normally the space station, you see it once or twice a night. But at times during the summer, we call it the high beta angle. And that is during a high beta angle time, you can see the space station throughout the entire night, every single pass. And I checked for the Duluth Superior region. And tonight, if it's clear, right, and you could see through the haze, of course, the space station is bright enough to make it through the haze. There's five passes for our area tonight. The first one is at 10:05 across the south, and then we've got several across the north, 11:41, 1:18, 2:55 in the morning. There's one for you, Chris. And then 4:33 tomorrow morning in the south. So that's overnight. You see every time it comes over. And that's because this time of the year, the Earth's axis, the North Polar axis, is tilted, oriented toward the sun, right? So the sun's high in the sky. At the same time, the space station's orbit is really tipped steeply around the Earth. So it remains in sunlight this time of year for its entire orbit. It's like the same effect as the midnight sun if you go into the Arctic regions, only it's at the space station in its orbit.
Yeah, wow.
So it's in sunlight, and as long as it's in sunlight, we can see it.
Yeah, but it will, I mean, it stays in sunlight, but it's not always visible at this point on the Earth. Is that what you're saying? It makes passes, but it then goes below and then comes back. But it's always, am I getting that right? It's always in sunlight, but not always visible to us.
Yeah, well, like right now during the daytime, it's making passes too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the passes are only visible in the morning hours, you know, at dawn. But this time of year, the northern hemisphere is favored. We always get multiple evening passes, and these multiple passes will continue until about August 1st. So the next couple of weeks, you're probably going to, if you're just out casually looking, you're going to see the space station making passes every hour and a half. The southern hemisphere gets the same thing for the evening passes, you know, multiple ones, in the winter. So their time would be like December, January.
Now, the orbit of the space station isn't always the same orbit. It is moving and changing its approach, right?
Right. It's always tipped at the same angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the Earth that's spinning underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time it comes around, it appears in a little different part of the sky because we've turned on the planet. But the orbit of the station itself, yeah, is at the same angle. It's a 51 degrees tip.
That's, to me, just a fascinating idea that the entire planet is moving around the sun, but that stays, is like almost like a gyroscopic idea. It doesn't change. The planet, shifts underneath it, but it stays the same.
Yeah. So there are still things happening, and there, you know, thankfully, even with this fire, this smoke in the sky, we can still see, you know, the bright summer triangle, which is a giant triangle. It's like 4 fifths long from mm-hmm. end to end. And that's visible high up in the southeastern sky. As soon as it gets dark, the brightest star on top is Vega. That's still visible. There's another star called Arcturus, I mentioned. That's in the southwest, high up at dusk. And that one's in the constellation of the herdsman, Boötes. And then Jupiter and Saturn come up again around midnight for those people like me that never get to bed until midnight.
Right. Well, that's great. And the haze will we assume, shift away eventually and things will come back. But with a good pair of binoculars, some of these brighter objects still quite visible now.
Yeah, you can still see some things in a pair of binoculars. And if it were to be clear tonight, you'd still see Mars near Venus this evening. Venus is low in the northwestern sky at 45 minutes or so after sunset. It's a great time to look. And you'll see it just kind of by itself there in the fading twilight. It's about a fist. If you reach a fist out, hold it vertically, it's about one fist above the horizon. You can't see Mars with your naked eye, but if you have a pair of binoculars and you point it at Venus and you focus Venus very sharply, you'll see, as long as it's clear enough, you'll see a little pink point of light. to the right of Venus, and that's Mars.
Okay. Now, if the haze weren't there, you'd see it a little bit better, but it's still hard to see because it's at this point opposite on the opposite side of the sun, so
exactly.
It's a smaller dot. Yeah.
Exactly, Chris. Yeah, Mars used to be close. When Mars is on the same side of the sun as the Earth, we're paired up and we're next to each other, so Mars is really, really bright. That won't happen again until December of next year. So Mars is on the opposite side of the sun, super far away from us, which means it's faint. So that's why you need binoculars.
That was a fun thing that I learned about just, you know, the amateur stargazing as a youngster, that even though it's a full face, Mars, because it's on the opposite side of the sun, it's a much tinier surface area for our eye to see when it's closer. Or Venus, you'd think Venus would be brighter if it were opposite the sun, but it's actually brighter as a crescent because it's closer to us, right?
Yes, it's closer to us. That closeness means that it's larger.
Yeah.
And so that extra surface area, I mean, that largeness really enhances the brilliance of Venus. Whereas you're right, Mars is completely, almost full right now, like a little full moon. It's just a tiny, but it's so tiny because it's far away, and it's a small planet to begin with.
Yeah.
Mars is about the same size at right now, apparent size, we call it, as the planet Uranus, which is about four times larger than the Earth. But Uranus is much farther away. But the two planets appear to be about the same size. And that's just because Mars is so much smaller. And again, it's on the opposite side of the sun from the Earth.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all these fascinating little things about the planets that you can perceive if you know a few little facts about them. I think those are our bright planets right now that we have. We have Pluto in the sky, too, which isn't a planet anymore, but it's out there in Sagittarius, the Archer, and those with a telescope can still spot Pluto.
Fantastic. Well, the haze being gone will help even more, of course. But
yeah, let's hope it goes soon. I know it comes and goes usually. Once we get started, it will come and go all the way through August, usually. By late August, September, generally, we don't have the haze anymore. Because the forest fires are going down. But who knows? Things are changing, you know, in terms of the fire season is expanding. So this may become more common than we'd hope.
Yeah, and it's a hotter, drier summer, too, so I'm sure that'll have an impact as well.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Well, we'll keep our eyes out, though, and keep looking. I'm sure now that I've got all these notes, I have something to look forward to this week, and I'll be doing some sailing next week in the Apostles, so hopefully the darker skies will offer some interesting things to see.
Yeah, that should definitely help, those darker skies. And then, although it's a little bit ahead, it's just a little less than a month away, we do have the Perseid meteor shower coming up
on the night of August
11th, the morning of August the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got no moon to worry about, which should make it a really fantastic shower this year.
I've been trying to see that now for a couple of years, and it's always cloudy. I missed the annular eclipse a month ago, too. We were up at 5 in the morning looking for it. No, it was too cloudy in Duluth. I know you were chasing it in a plane, but hopefully this year we'll be lucky.
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully we won't have smoke, too. So there's smoke everywhere. But yeah, that'll be the peak summer event, in a sense, is that shower.
Great. We'll look forward to it. Thanks so much, Bob. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye. Bob King, Astro Bob, an author, educator, and amateur astronomer. And he joins us every other Tuesday morning for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy here on 103.3 KUMD.